want to go ahead and I'm going to switch over because I didn't realize my time has gone to that extent. But we're going to start the main message in just a minute. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. You know.
All right. Let's go ahead and read verse 38 again, please. All right. So verse 38 again, because not everyone's going to hear because of the type of microphone. He says, he that believe on me, as the Spirit says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, you know, there's no real river going to run out of you. This is a figurative expression. It's a metaphor. This is not real river. And so he clarifies it in verse 39. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you're telling me that all the people who lived before the flood, all the people who lived after the flood that were not in the nation of Israel, and then all the other people in Israel that did not have access to the Spirit, are you telling me they're all gone? The answer is no. But God is working out a purpose. And so what he's saying is that, so he's working out a purpose. And he says, these people, in other words, my people, not everybody, my people, are going to have access to the Spirit. And it's going to be like a river flowing out of them because of the spontaneity, so spontaneous, the ease with which it does it. And that is because Jesus is going to be glorified in the future. Well, was he glorified? Yes. He went to the cross. And he went back to glory. And after that, then the Spirit is available to mankind. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that in order for you to have the fire of God, you're going to have the Spirit of God, and you're going to have the Spirit operating in such a way that it's going to clean up anything that is incorrect. That's the fire, burn stuff up, and we'll see as we look at it a little bit more in depth shortly. So when you hear me talk about this thing that is really bugging me for a week, and we come to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Now you begin to see where I'm coming from, because it reflects on the state of the church today. It reflects on the church, the world, and we all need to know how things ought to be. He says, my heart within me, that's Jeremiah 23, verse 9, the heart within me is broken because the prophets all because of the prophets. In other words, the teachers, the people who are supposed to be doing God's work. His heart is broken because of them. What is it they're not doing or are they doing? I am like a drunken man, like a man with who has been overcome with wine. Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness, he is not pleased. I'm telling you, I am not pleased. I see a lot of things that is going on, and it is not pleasing to the person who wants the best for others. For the land is full of adultery, for because of swearing and the land mourn, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. and their course is evil, and their force is not right. In other words, it is not working out right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my own house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. This was true for the days of Israel. It is due for really us today. And so what we find, ladies and gentlemen, it's a warning that when you see this condition, God is going to do something about it. That's why it is such a challenge for us. He goes on explaining, you can read the rest of the whole time, but I'm going to just jump forward to verse 17. They are still unto them that despise me. The Lord had said, you shall have peace, and they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come unto you. That's what they're telling people today. You do whatever you want to do, and everything is going to be fine. Well, here it is. Jeremiah, a man of God, saw what was happening. And that's okay. You can lie down. Okay, but they say still unto them, despise not the Lord. Okay, and so he says, they walk after the imagination of their own heart. No evil shall come upon them. For who had stood in the council, verse 18, in the council of the Lord, and had perceived and heard his word? Is anybody doing that today? Spending time with God so they can hear his word? Who had marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth. In other words, you know, whirlwind, whenever you hear the expression whirlwind, that means things are out of focus, things are destruction. So whirlwind has gone forth. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed and till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. So the time is coming, ladies and gentlemen, when folks are going to really think about these things. Now, oh yes, folks still doing their own thing, wherever they want to go, do whatever. But the time is running short. He says in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. I have not spoken unto them, yet they prophesied. Are people telling the others what God said when he did not say? Yes, it's happening. And God is saying, I did not talk to them, yet they are prophesying. But verse 22 says, but if they had stood in my counsel, see, that makes the difference now. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, listen, let's break it down. And it is very plain, very clear right here. He says, if the person who is telling people about God, if they come and stay in the presence of God, in other words, learn from him, then they will teach what he's telling, because his word will not come back void. So all of it is go give him the word. And what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that then the people would have turned from the evil of their doings. He says, am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? In other words, can he only see nearby? He's seen everything, in other words. And so he's saying, wait a minute, you think I can't see what's going on? Look at verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit the people at all, says the Lord. In other words, the people, even though they go to church, they're not going to prosper. They're not going to profit because they are not hearing the real thing. Very, very important. Now, what does that have to do with the fire of God? Because you and I, ladies and gentlemen, need to understand that God is working out a purpose. He told us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. All right, so he says, don't be drunk with wine. King James Version says, which is excess. You know, you drink too much, you don't get drunk. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You and I have a responsibility to be filled with the Spirit. So what I want to share today, between today and tomorrow, is for us to understand the need for the Spirit, how it operates, and what you and I, ladies and gentlemen, have access to, how we should react, how we should behave. We need to have access to the Spirit. We just saw with those who spend time in the presence of God is going to be able to absorb it, like, you know, Moses stay in the presence of God, and so, it adsorb, really, does come upon him. But it will, the same thing will happen for you and I, and between today and tomorrow, for those who are celebrating in reality the Feast of the Weeks or Pentecost, you're going to find at the end of the year, there's going to be a certain glow, end of the day tomorrow, a certain glow in your spirit and on your body. You won't notice it any different because you're going to look, you always look like you to you. But other people who look at you are going to see the difference, and they're going to ask what happened. And it's due to the presence of the Lord. So that's basically the situation I'm just outlining now, what we're going through and we're acting out, for us to understand where we're coming from. Now, let's take it a step further, ladies and gentlemen. Because there was a prophecy in Mark chapter 1. Book of Mark. Chapter 1. And in verse 8, it is saying, I indeed, this is John the Baptist speaking, I indeed baptized you with water. But he shall baptize you. The E there is referring to Jesus. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John baptized people in water. I have baptized people in water. But there's another baptism that is more critical, more important, more significant, you might say, for the individual. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I'm going to want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, is that when you get this experience or understanding, so to speak, you're going to begin to see the difference. Luke chapter 3. So the point there, ladies and gentlemen, he says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the element of baptism here is the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's going to pour out his Spirit upon you. I'm going to read some of that shortly. But in in Luke, the third chapter and verse 16. John is speaking, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I, and he's saying the same thing again that we read in Mark, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I want us to understand the difference now with fire, because a lot of people want the power. A lot of people want the capacity to receive, but they don't want to do the basic things that God requires. And so he's going to have to baptize them really with the fire, meaning that he's going to burn up whatever shouldn't be there. That's what it means. Anything that you have in you, he's going to burn away that desire so that you won't go after strange things anymore. He says, his fan is in his hand, verse 17, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat out into his garner, but the chaff will be burned with fire unquenchably. So the point here, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to burn it up, anything that we shouldn't have. In other words, he's going to give us the desire to seek him with all our heart. You know, there was a church that thought we got it together. Like a lot of church today, really, believe the same thing. They think they have it together. And they even make the statement, we have need of nothing. No, listen, the last thing you want to do is to start to brag, but you got it together. In Revelation, the third chapter, we're going to read about this church starting with verse 14. Because what happened is God record all these things for us to learn. We'll read over and over and say, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear what it's saying. Seven times he said that. And so in verse 14, he says, chapter 3, Revelation 3. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, says the Amen. Write these things. Write these things. To the angel of the church. He's addressing the church, but he's going to go to protocol and go to the angel. And so he says, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the of the creation of God. So Jesus now is the, let's read the whole thing, because it might be disjointed, so you get the wrong impression. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things says the Amen, that's Jesus, he's the Amen, he's the faithful and true witness, that's what Jesus is, the beginning of the creation of God. He's the one who started everything. And so verse 15 says, I know thy works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now here it is, this is a church. Hot there meaning that you are on fire for him, or you're full of activity, you're diligent, you're applying yourself. You're neither cold nor hot. Comparing it like water, you have hot water, you can take a bath, you know, refreshes your body and so on. If it is cold, you can drink it, it quenches your thirst. But in this case, it's neither cold nor hot. It's lukewarm. And so he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Now he's talking about a church. Well, this is his church. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods. That is their attitude. In other words, we get it together. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and do not know and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now he's talking about his church. And he's saying, this church is poor and blind and miserable and naked. And the church is saying to him, oh yeah, talking to God, we have need of nothing. We got it. And so he says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich and white, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now listen to this. Okay, this is really serious right here. Because you say you are lukewarm, verse 16 again, and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spew it up my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods. How do we say that? We got a lot of different ways of saying it, you know. We act like we got it together. We decide we're going to do whatever we want to do. We are increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that you are wretched and miserable and wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you do not, let's see, verse 18. I command you, I should say counsel you. Come over here where the light is. He says, I am counseling. He's talking to him, not the church now. And he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now, wait a minute. Now, he's saying, you must anoint your eyes with eye salve. I would suggest that we drill down and read this again. Because he says, buy gold tried in fire. What is the purpose of the fire? We mentioned that earlier. The purpose of the fire is to burn up impurities, to get rid of it. And he's talking about his church. And I'm telling you, this is a church that say they have need of nothing. I mean, they got it together. They think they have it together. But God continues to say, as many as I love, I rebuke, and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. In other words, quickly turn from your ways and follow me. That's what he's saying. Too many people today are doing their own thing, not following God, not trying to hear what he says, not caring one bit about what he says. And he says, listen, you're going to have to buy gold tried in fire. In other words, you're going to go through some trouble, some testing, some serious testing for you to come to your senses. Now, we could make it a lot easier, ladies and gentlemen, by this just making a quality decision that we're going to follow God and pursue him. It's a lot easier that way. Look at verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. God is always there knocking. God is always there trying to reach us. God is always there trying to say, hey, listen, come this way, just in case you miss it, this way. But folks are not doing it. They're doing things their way. They decide they're going to do things their way and they're going to do whatever they want to do. And I'm telling you, those days are over. It's over for the country. And it's fast coming over for the church. But you and I don't want to be just ordinary. We don't want to be just ordinary. What I'm recommending, ladies and gentlemen, is that we pursue the fire of God. Pursue him all the way. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. This weekend, that's all I'm going to be encouraging you to do. Now, folks may wonder, they say, well, how in the world, how do you get this Spirit you're talking about? How does it come? How do you get it? Well, let's look at the scripture. I can give you my personal testimony, but I'm going to bypass that. Let's look at the scripture. In the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, Jesus was giving an example. He's teaching something. And in the book of Luke, chapter 11, he says in verse 10, let's pick up the story in verse 10. Everyone that asks receives. Is that true? That's what he means, isn't it? Not everybody get, but that's true. So he somehow is giving it to us and somehow it's not coming through. Something is wrong. Something is there hindering it. Somebody sell you some money and you look in your account and you say, well, it's not there. And you say, well, I send it. Something is wrong. For everyone that ask, receive, and he that seek, find, and to him that knock, it shall be opened. He's talking about a certain type of people here. That's what makes the difference. Verse 11. If a man shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Look at verse 13. This is what I want us to see, this to build up. He says, if you, in other words, mankind being then evil, know how to give good gifts unto his children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So the point here is, ladies and gentlemen, is that he wants us to ask, and we're going to come. And he's willing, because everyone who is for real, that's what he means there, they're going to receive. And I'm saying to you, especially this weekend, we should be pushing and pressing through so as to make sure that we receive. The book of Jude points something out. It's only one chapter. The book of Jude and verse 3. Book before the New Testament. Revelation rather. He says, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. So he's talking to us. It is common among us. The common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and encourage you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So once you get it, you should contend for it. Who are we contending against? Who are we contending against? Well, one, our human nature, the society around us, the world system, but more so the enemy, the devil. And he has ways to send people to cause trouble. You might think things are running so smooth and all of a sudden something just go wrong. Somebody all of a sudden gets some strange ideas. What happened? They don't know. He just come across. Well, the enemy, he's busy doing behind the scene, working these things out. And a lot of folks don't understand that he works like that. And so he's saying to you now, listen, I'm writing this onto you that you're going to have to learn to contend. In other words, if you're not going to contend for it, you're not going to get it. You're not going to have it. So even though Jesus tells you it's there and he sent it, if you don't contend, you're not going to get it. you're not going to get it. Everyone that asks, receive. But the point is that you're going to have to be asking, seeking, knocking, diligently praying, fasting, and so on. You get the idea. And so this is all a part of it. And I just want to go ahead and just share this to stir us up. To stir us up, because I see a lot of stuff that is really out of whack, and the church is going to be caught off guard. The church is going to be caught off guard. A lot of people, somehow, you know, you can't fake it with God. Can't fake it with Him. You can't fake it with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Simple admonition, we're going to just look at it. We're familiar with it, but let's just read it again. Chapter 5, verse 19, it says, quench not the spirit. Are people quenching the spirit today? Yes. Here it is, the Lord is trying to stir us up, trying to bring us into His presence, trying to get us to go a little deeper, a little higher in Him. And folks are trying to quench it. One of the latest fad these days, you see people going down the street and they have, well, it's really, and you can use it for different ways. So don't get me wrong if you use one of those earpieces that you listen to. But, you know, folks, they're into a never-never land. And they're packing their mind with a lot of garbage that has nothing to do with God. And they're really trying to tune Him out. And what they fail to understand in that sense that they're quenching the spirit. That's what they're doing, quenching the spirit. So how did the fire come then? Let's look at a story. We're just going to look at this quickly, and then we're going to look at some promises. Because the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that what do we really want? I want God's best for you. Whatever God's best is for you, that's what I want you to have. I don't know all that you need. But God knows. And so when I pray for the church in general, I ask God to bless them so that they may have everyone that is associated with this ministry. Just yesterday, again, it just come back to my mind. Pray a little harder to make sure everybody stay in good health. Everybody in good health. Everybody in good health. Now, Dad, I mean, I would like to do it for everybody, but especially those in the church. Everybody in good health. So, in 2 Kings chapter 2, I want you to see something. And it doesn't always work like this. But in this particular case, this is how it was done then. Remember what we read earlier? The children of Israel did not have access to the Holy Spirit. You mean they're going to die and go to hell? No. Are they going to be in the kingdom? No. So what is going to happen to them? They're going to come back in a second resurrection. God is going to raise them back up to life and give them an opportunity to hear now. But they were born out of season, so to speak. And so you and I now have access to the Spirit. We are going to be the first fruits, not the children of Israel. We are going to be the first fruits, the church. Anyway, at that time, ladies and gentlemen, there was a man named Elijah. The Bible doesn't tell us how he got his anointing, but he was a man of faith. And so he was there, a prophet of God, doing a lot of work. And later on, God is going to replace him. And so he sent this other fellow to come and understudy him in order to stay with him. That's one of the ways the anointing is transferred. You serve with that person who is anointed. And so he says in verse 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So here it is now. They went, Elijah from Gilgal. So they start out really to Gilgal. Now I'm just going to just tell you this. Really, so that the story makes sense to you. But Gilgal means where a new beginning is coming into existence. That's what Gilgal means. The town of Gilgal represents a new beginning. And so they start off, they went to the Gilgal, and then they went from Big Gilgal to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God, where you go and you, after you come to the realization, then you start to serve God, house of God. And then you go to Jordan, where it's a place where, you know, you get hold of the vision of God. And then Jericho, that's where you're going to get the victory. You're going to walk in the anointing. So what happens is that this story is here to teach us the foundational principle of how God transferred the anointing on us. Well, what about the person who don't want to serve anybody? They're not going to have any. Because see, the point is that God have this. He is serious about what he's doing, and it's not for everybody. That's why the children of Israel, he was lamenting, God himself was lamenting. He said, oh, that they had a heart in them to do it. Right? He knew they wouldn't have it because they didn't have access to the Spirit. It was thousands of years later before they had access to the Spirit. We, that's you and I, have access to the Spirit long before, I should say, before those people who, you know, those people who were, you know, in the nation of Israel. And so that's basically pretty much, ladies and gentlemen, what you see going on. So he said unto him, what happened is that they're going to go through these four stages. They went from Gilgal. Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, and he went to Bethel. So when they get to Bethel, he says, hey, I pray thee, stay here. He's testing him. So both of them walked together, because back then, you know, they didn't have cars like we do today. You could have chariots, but they had cars. They walk. And so they walked to Bethel. And so, the point is, they went from Bethel, from Gilgal to Bethel. And so when he got to Bethel, he said, hey, stay here. God send me to Jordan. And Elisha understood what was going on. And he said, hey, listen, as the Lord live and it says my soul live, I will not leave. In other words, he's going to stick with the anointing. Now, we're here talking about the fire of God. So a lot of folks don't see the need for it because, like I said, like the Laodicean church, we don't realize that without the fire of God, we are out in left field. We are just like the other people who don't have access to God. We don't have no more power than them. Yes, you're going to be in the kingdom if you have access to the Spirit, but you're not going to do no mighty works. I can guarantee that. Because unless you're filled with the Spirit, he's not going to do anything through you. And so my point here is that you and I then must be pursuing this. This is our number one goal. As I said, Christianity is a 24/7 system. It's always, there's no part-time operation here. Our jobs can be part-time, but living for Jesus is all the time. Well, they left from Gilgal and they went to Bethel. And of course, Elijah said, hey, let's go to Jordan. And he went to Jordan and he tell him, he said, hey, listen, the Lord sent me to Jericho. And so basically what happened is that they crossed that river. In fact, let's read a little of it. He says in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood in, they stood afar off, and they were just watching. They want to see how it's going to turn out. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it in his hand. In other words, he take his cloak, he just wrap it in his hand, and just hit the water. And the water just divide. And both of them just walk over. You know, that's power. That's power. So here it is now. Let me see. I don't know what that is. Okay. And so the point here is that they crossed over. The folks were watching what was going on. You know, the other prophets, they were at the school of the prophets. They were in what you would call seminary back then. And so they went on a little further. So it came to pass, verse 9, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do unto thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of the Spirit be upon me. Wait a minute, did I do this in the wrong way? Yes, I did it in the wrong order. They went from Bethel to Jericho. And so they went from Bethel to Jericho and then from Jericho to Jordan. Because when he got to Jordan, that he had the vision. So you see what was happening. But my point is, ladies and gentlemen, if you read the story again in your own time, you begin to see that this was how it was transferred then. I'm asking now, how is it transferred today? Well, it could be like this, although this is not very popular. But as we read earlier, Luke chapter 11, verse 13, ask for the Spirit, and God will give it to you. He's the one. And then, of course, the point is this. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, we point that out. Knock, seek, knock. It's going to be given unto you. And everybody who asks is going to receive. The point here is this, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have to press through. You have to press through. You have to press through. You want the fire of God in your life? You're going to have to press through. Now, not everybody seems to grasp this, but I want us to see something. The book of Joel, the second chapter, I want us to look at a prophecy that was given. In verse 28, here it is, Joel. He was just writing this thing down. And he's talking about what's going to happen in the future. And he says, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Hold on, wait a minute now. He says it's going to come to pass. And what is going to happen? He's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. What does that mean? It means access is available. No, it doesn't mean everybody receive. Access is there. Access. You and I have access today. It's a lot easier for us than the children of Israel. They had to go take shower, to go to the synagogue, get somebody to read the scriptures to them. You can just get up and read your Bible yourself. You don't have to go nowhere. You don't have to leave your house. Put it up on your cell phone, your smartphone, or your laptop, and so on. A lot of folks have access to this. Years ago, Brother Andrew was telling me, he met this fellow in Cuba that was laughing and says, okay, I know you have a gift for me. It's a black Bible. It was a black Bible. He'd been praying 20 years for it. 20 years. He wanted a Bible for 20 years. He finally came through. And we take it for granted. Well, it shall come to pass, he's going to pour out and make his Spirit available. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions. The young people need to be seeing visions today when they are following God, not until then. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. So he's prophesying that this is what he was going to do. Now, I am saying this to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I want to encourage you to press through for that extra power. Press through. In other words, keep fasting and praying and don't stop until it comes. Don't stop until it comes. Don't stop until it comes. There's a whole lot more we can say about that, but I just want to go ahead and point that out. Because in the book of Acts, chapter 1, this is what was actually being fulfilled. There was a promise made in the book of Joel. And so here it is now in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is repeating this promise again. And verse 8. You want to read it, please? All right, so here it is. He's telling them, because they were asking him, you know, how is this thing going to work out? How is this going to work out? And in verse 7, he says, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. You're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me in both in Jerusalem and all the rest of Judea, and you know, Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth, in other words, far as God will lead. He's saying this is what is going to happen. So he just repeated the promise again. And ladies and gentlemen, that promise is still available today. The promise is still available today. Because what you find, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we find is that the promise was made, and Jesus repeated it here. It's the same promise we read earlier in Mark chapter 1 and also Luke chapter 3. Now you think that if Jesus' word is accurate, and they are, you see everybody who asks. So the point is this, the reason why we don't have is because we're not pressing through like we should. That's really basically what it means. We don't take him serious. We're like the Laodicean church, where we just think that little anointing that we have is good enough. We got baptized some years ago. Well, you know, everything is fine and hunky-dory. We don't have to go no further. And he says they're naked, wretched, and poor, and don't even realize it. They're blind. Well, here it is. You've made that promise again. And we're going to see where it was fulfilled initially. And it is continuing today. Now look at Acts chapter 2. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, remember I said God is a God of order. And so he did this officially starting on Pentecost. This is the same thing we read about in John the 7th chapter, verse 39, because Jesus was already now glorified. And so here it is now. He's going to do things in order. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? Very, very important. Very, very important. And so he says, they were all at one place with one accord. So everybody had gathered together in Jerusalem. And suddenly there came the sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. So this sound has come whoosh, all of a sudden, all over the place. And everybody is hearing this thing. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. It didn't say it was fire. It looked like fire. Little tongues, you know, Bunsen burner. You see a little tongue. It just sit up on top of the Bunsen. That's a little above it. And for those who are in the science class, remember the Bunsen burner? It just go, then the flame, it just sit up there. All right? And by the way, our gas stove does the similar thing. And if you have proper wood fire and it gets hot enough, you will have some where you have the blue flame and it just sit just a little above the wood. Same thing. And he says it was as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want us to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what I am saying is that this is for the fire. The fire I'm talking about now is going to come. It comes as a package. Because, listen, he's not going to stay in just any vessel. You can't just do anything and say you have the power of God. You're praying to you. Oh, no. He'll drop you like a hot cake. He'll walk away and leave you. That's what Samson learned the hard way. That's why he ended up losing his eyes. Nobody could have beat him up. He just wouldn't do right. So God just left him. Power just left. And he will leave us the same way. And like Samson, Samson didn't know it was gone. And you won't know it's gone. You're going to think you got it. A lot of people used to preach, used to do what is right. Then they start going astray, doing what they want to do. And then the power left, they don't even know. And after a while, they've been reduced to nothing. And people wonder, well, what happened? What happened? What happened? Oh, God decided he's not going to put up with your insolence any longer. And so my point there is that he left. Well, here it is. No, it was, he delivered on his promise. So the summary of this, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to a conclusion then with regards to this. I want us to, because you see, what I have here is a pretty in-depth subject, and it is really not for everybody. Everybody should go here, but not everybody is there. And so I don't want to give you the wrong impression. that, you know, if you don't get it all today, it's the end of the world. No. We're going to come back and you do some more, and you get a little more, and so on, okay? But what is the sum of this? Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Because the promise, ladies and gentlemen, it still extends to us today. It still extends to us today. He said that which was from the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, that 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice the uppercase W word. Okay, he's talking about Jesus. And so he says, we handle him, we touch him, we're right there. That which was from the beginning, he was from the beginning. He was always around. Why? He made everything that was made. And so verse 2, for the life was manifested. There are three words in the Greek that means life. You know, people nowadays say, oh man, this is the life. Talking about, you know, the way you're living. This is the life. And then you and I breathe air, and they say, well, that's life. Also. But there is another kind of life that is self-containing. Please don't miss this. This is the gist of the message today. And this is what I want everybody to make sure you ask the Lord for. I can't give it to you. Only Jesus can. He is the one who's going to give it to you. And so you say you got some before, friend. Praise the Lord. But we always need more. I know I need more. And today, oh yes, I'm going to follow my same instruction. I'm going to ask him for more this evening again. So he says, for the life was manifest, and this is the third kind of life I'm talking about now, that self-containing life, we have seen it. We have seen what? That life. And bear witness of that life, and show unto you that eternal life, they translated eternal, meaning that there's no end to it. That eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That's the kind of life I want you to make sure you get. The Greek word there is zoe. You want is more zoe. Because when you have that zoe, ladies and gentlemen, nothing is impossible to you. Nothing. I'm serious. So he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare. That's verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. Continue. Declare we unto you that we also may have fellowship with us, that you rather may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we're fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. When you have this thing come upon you, folks, the Father is right there. The Son is right there. And He says He's writing these things unto them. Thank God He did. I'm reading it now. He's writing it unto us, we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, when you understand the magnitude of this, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get so excited about it. You don't want to go without this. Nothing else really matters. This is it. So what I am saying then, ladies and gentlemen, is that when this life, the same type of life that Jesus has is what we want. The same type of life that he has, it comes through the infilling of the Spirit, and he continues and he gives us more. It is when we are filled with the Spirit, then we can receive everything that he has for us. John the 14th chapter, verse 14 says, "What you know, you ask." A lot of folks say, "Well, I ask and I don't get." Well, that's because you're not full. That's why. It is not that he's holding out. John the 14th chapter. I'm just going to take time to read it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. When you are full of Zoe, that's when it's going to be done. Oh yes, I'm not blaming people when they say they pray and they don't get. That's true. Because not everybody is that field. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm saying we have to press through. We're going to have to knock. Because the enemy is constantly trying to take it away from us. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? It is when we are filled with Zoe that we're going to produce. John, the 15th chapter, give you a whole narration about it. I'm not going to take time to look at it. I'm just going to suggest that you read it. John, the 15th chapter, because it is when we are in connected to the vine, rather, that you're going to have access to this, the nutrients that come, which is obviously through this, the life, the Zoe. And then you're going to have everything because we're connected to the vine. He is the branch, the shoots of the vine. We are the branches, and so we're going to receive from him. And then we're going to be productive. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk more about this on tomorrow with regards to the desire for us to be filled with the Spirit. Because I am saying to you, there's a lot of tasks out there. It is not that God is holding out on the church. It is not that it is not for our time or we need to wait. It is our time now. And we all need to be pressing through the receive of the Spirit. And that's basically what I wanted to share with you today. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next lesson.